God's been good to us. Give us another opportunity. Half of a year has gone by. Looking forward to the second half of the year. All God's going to be doing for us. But the question would be tonight, what would we be willing to do for the Lord? It's not that He doesn't need anything. He could speak and it would be done. But yet God uses people. He wants to use us. And let's turn to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 1. The book of Nehemiah. Bible students realize that in your book of Nehemiah, it's concerning rebuilding a city, rebuilding a wall. And if you're going to rebuild something, that implies that something must be torn down or needed rebuilding. And such was the case in Jerusalem in those days. The only problem was Nehemiah wasn't in Jerusalem. He was many, many miles from there. In fact, he was a captive, had been taken captive, and he was serving in the capacity where they wanted him to serve and doing what they expected him to do, and he had a good attitude about it. God uses people wherever they are, and even though he would have longed to be in Jerusalem, he was content. Because he realized what you and I need to realize, that God has us where he wants us to be. And even though people sometimes aren't where they would like to be, they have to learn to be content in those situations. If you ever expect God to be able to use you. Because you have to realize that it's God that ordered the steps of Nehemiah to have him there. Would God take a nation, a people, many of them good people, into captivity to be governed by pagans? Not only would he, but he did because of their sin and neglect. So here Nehemiah is, opening chapter, verse 1. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, and it came to pass. No matter what you're going through, it will pass. It's a good way to look at the future. You know, some days aren't bright, sickness, distress, hurt, pain, agony. On and on and on. But you can always look to that promise. It will pass. May get worse. But it's okay. The day will pass, the condition will pass, and we can look to be onward home with him. And it came to pass in the month Sulia, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan the palace, a Persian palace, not his homeland, that Hananiah, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said to me, the remnant that are left of captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept, and mourned certain days, and fasted, and prayed before the God of heaven, and said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God, that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive, and thine eye open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sin of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee, both I and my fathers have sinned. We have dealt very corruptible against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments, which thou commanded thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou hast commanded thy servant Moses, saying, if ye trespass, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if you turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out into the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence, and will bring them into the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now these are thy servants and thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant, and to the prayer of thy servants, who desire to fear thy name and prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. For I was a king's cupbearer. We won't get into chapter 2, but just a review of that chapter. Chapter 2 begins 4 months after chapter 1. And we remember that story that he finally has an audience with the king, the first time he has had that audience. And he's had 4 months now, almost 4 months. And he said he prayed day and night. He wept. He fasted. And he sought God in those days. Let's consider this. The title of the message of that is Love for a Nation. Love for a Nation. Would to God that we would now realize we were not comparing America to Israel. No, that's God's people. I know we're his people too, but that's God's select people. And I know we're saved by the grace of God, and America's not about to be in the same classification of Israel. Nonetheless, we're to love our nation. We realize that God has given America all these benefits through the years, has prospered us more than any other nation. He has given us opportunities no other nation's ever had, advancements in technology, and on and on and on. We know that history. Yet, when we hear the story, and we get accustomed to it, Nehemiah did not have the ability to know all that was transpiring in Jerusalem so far away. It came, no doubt, by a shock to him when he saw his brethren that had been there, visited, and came back, and he had, no doubt, hoped for good news. Maybe Ezra had been there a few years before, and no doubt he had heard that, and Ezra and Zerubbabel had made certain contributions, and God had permitted and allowed a lot of great work to be done in the restored, and perhaps Nehemiah was thinking, well, maybe things are getting better. But he heard the word, no, it's gotten worse. Walls are broken down. No worship. Sin on every hand. He heard it for the first time. And in America, we hear daily all these things, and I don't have to reiterate the news. If you watch it, you know what's transpiring all across America. And I'm not saying we're getting used to it, because I'll never get used to it. And I'm not saying that, but I think it's just so gradual. It's so gradual. A little worse today, a little worse tomorrow. And we're not shocked like Nehemiah was. We should be, but we're not. And I hope tonight that God, as we're dealing with Nehemiah and the sincere desire he had for the worship and the nation Israel, and how he was willing to do certain things, I hope God gigs our heart tonight, and we can leave here with a greater love for America, our nation, than we came in with. It's not we don't love her. We say we do, but if you really love something, you make certain applications, you pray for it, and you do all you can in your power to make it better. And we can say, I love America, and we can sing the song and mean it. But I don't think much will come of it unless we take certain steps as Nehemiah was taking. Nehemiah could have wept and said, I feel for those people. But he did more than that. He fasted, and he was willing to be used. And he had enough faith to ask God to use him. And I know all of us tonight said, well, what could I do individually? But yet he had that faith to believe that God had put him in that position, a cupbearer to the king, that somehow, some way, that king, of course, had enough power to make a difference and give some gold, some silver, some trees and prosperity. He had that faith. And tonight, as we look at this story, let's look at about three different truths. There's several in here, but three that I believe God would have us to know. First of all, he believed with all his heart that he was where God had put him. He was not mad at God. He was not mad at anybody. In fact, he was not even mad at the king that told him where to go, what to do. We can't ever be in the right relationship with God until we come to the place that we realize that God is in charge of our lives and we are his people if we're saved by the grace of God, and that we must be content. Not to be content would be accusing God of not doing this right. And none of us would dare go that route, surely. So he was content where he was, but yet he realized that with the mercy of God on him, he could be used where he was to go back and help the cause of worship, restoration of worship to the city of Jerusalem. God's city on the hill means peace, the peace of God. And we realize that the peace of God dwells in us. And he said, I'll give you that peace. It'll pass all understanding. But we have to acknowledge that. The second thing he did, not only was he accustomed to the fact and he was content where he was, but he was willing to confess the sins that he had committed and his father's. Now, not individually, but the text says, verse 5, I beseech thee, O great and terrible God, that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee day and night for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel. Wasn't just his sin, but he was inhabitant. He was a member of the nation Israel, and his people had sinned. The priest had sinned. The kings had sinned. Everyone had sinned and come short of the glory of God. And he was willing to acknowledge that and confess his sins before God. Number one, content where God had put him and the job he was doing. And number two, confess his sins. And if we aren't willing to do those things, we'll never be able to be used of God. Just so simple that we have to completely be content with things as they are. My grandfather taught me well, no matter what is going on, thank God that things are as well with us as they are. Walls were broken down back in Jerusalem, but where he was still able to trust God and be used of God, and he knew that. Only by acknowledging the God that we have sinned. Why was he in captivity? Why were the walls broken down? Why was worship not going on in Jerusalem? Because of sin. He knew that. No use trying to beat around the bush about it. He knew God knew it. So he had to confess it. And we can blame the White House. Oh, we want to, and there's plenty of blame. And we can blame Congress and the Senate, and there's plenty to blame. But he said, if my people, us, which are called by my name, he looks at his people. We can't just say our nation sinned, because we have, and we will say we've sinned, but we have to individually admit to God that I have to tell him, I haven't done all I could do. Surely I wouldn't be so foolish to say, God, I've done everything I can. No, I haven't. I haven't had the burden I could have had. I haven't loved America like I should. I love it. I say the words. But if I say the words and I have to put action to those words, I have to pray for it. I have to trust God. I have to say, Lord, what could I do? So he was willing to do those two things, confess the sins. But not only that, he was willing to have the faith and believe that things could be conquered. The enemy that was in Jerusalem that was doing all that devastation and the destruction was keep coming in their midst, he believed that could be conquered. He believed God could do all things, and that since he's his servant, he believed God could use him. And he, number four, he believed that God had made a promise in his word that he was going to keep. He said, God, now remember, of course you don't have to tell God, do you remember? Because he does remember. But it helps us to be able to say that. And look at the words he said. Verse 8. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses. And there's not a chance in a billion, there's not a chance in the world that God would ever have to be called to remember something. But when he's saying those words, it's helping him to remember and to restore the faith he needs. God remembers everything. But he is saying to God, as I'm bringing to my remembrance what you said, and give me the faith to believe it. You said if we sin, you would scatter us. Well, they didn't believe it at the time, or else they wouldn't have sinned like they did, but you were faithful to do that. You scattered us, all right. Here we are in Persia, many miles from home. Jews are scattered all over Babylon. And we're scattered, all right. But I want to remember and have a faith appropriate to me to take the last part of what you said. You said we'd be scattered. There's no denying that. We're scattered. But you said, and help me to believe it, that if you scatter us, which you did and you will, then you would forgive us if. Look at this text together. What a great minute. Didn't have to tell God that. If you trespass, verse 8, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. He did. But if you turn to me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out into the othermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence and will bring them into the place I have chosen to set my name there. I believe you scattered us. History tells us that. He was part of the ones that was scattered. But he says, I remember what you told Moses to tell us. And we've sinned, all right. You scattered us. But you told us if we call on your name and repent and do your commandments, then you would gather us back and take us back to Jerusalem. I believe that, Lord. And I know America's far gone. But Lord, give us the faith to believe that it's not too late. It's still in the book, if my people, which are called by my name. He hasn't taken that away, nor will he. America will not get too bad, but what if we would do that promise? God would heal our nation. Now the question would be, what will we do? But if my people repent, look very carefully. But if you turn unto me and keep my commandments, God would forgive our nation. We start by confessing our sins and by being content. It's hard to do, isn't it? Now remember, he was content. There wasn't any bickering. There wasn't any complaining about anything that he was or were. No. To be content. But yet, confess before God and be willing to turn and keep his commandments. And Nehemiah said, we will keep your commandments. But you got to help us get out of the fix we're in. I can't do anything over there in Jerusalem because I'm here. But Lord, you could get me over there. So he just didn't spend a day and a night, but for almost 4 months, from the days, the months, the first verse, until the first verse in the second chapter was 4 months expired. He had not stood in the presence of the king. Don't know why. The king could have been on a journey to another palace. Or maybe they rotated. Maybe he had to leave. I don't know. It didn't really matter. But I do know it was 4 months. And finally he stood before the king. And he was still troubled. He was troubled at the first when he heard about the problems in Jerusalem, God's nation, his people. And it wasn't just a fleeing worry. Oh, when we watch the news, how long does it last? All the problems. Oh, God, help us. And then we get our minds on something else. Not him. Day and night, weeping and calling out to God and confessing his sins and trusting, Lord, give me the faith to believe. We're scattered, but help us do your commandments and help us. Because your word's true. You will return us if we'll do our part. Verse 10 says, now these are thy servants and thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants. It seems to me as though he realized that I'm going to have to get some other people involved. It's not that God wouldn't hear his prayer, but there's going to be more than one person saying we've sinned, more than one person in the kingdom. So he no doubt got with his people, which for many there in Shushan, the palace, serving the king and scattered throughout the city. And he said, I'm going to pray. And when I pray sincerely, be attentive to my prayers. Now we know God hears the prayers of those people that are in tune with him and that's willing to confess their sins and be content and be willing to claim the promises that God's already given us. But he says, I'm going to do my best to get some other people. Not just best, he said it very clearly. The prayer of thy servants. More than I'm praying, we're praying. And I know my heart. I know I love America. And I know I am going to pray more fervently than I ever have before after reading this chapter over and over. Listen to it over and over on the DVD or CD as I go down the road. Just listening to it over and over and over. God pricked my heart and says, that was Israel, but you're in America. And I'm telling you, look at the report. The gates are, borders are broken. It's just the bad fix. We're probably, not physically, but we're probably worse off spiritually than they were. And yet, if I love America, I'll have a heartfelt desire to fast and to pray for her and do my very best. And God gave me this message to try to get you as serious as I think I am right now. I don't know my heart. You say, well, I know mine. No, God disagrees with you. No man knoweth his heart. He that thinketh he standeth, he lest his fall. But if I do know anything about my heart, I want to love America more than I've ever loved her. I want to pray for her more than I've ever prayed for her. And it's a timely message that God always gives. It's the 4th of July almost that we're going to be celebrating their independence. How do we celebrate? It's okay to shoot the firecrackers, although I got tired of that when I was a teenager. I thought my kids would like it like I did. Used to, Dad would come home about Christmas time and he'd go to Tennessee and bring home the firecrackers, North Carolina, which wasn't supposed to do, but he did it. You guys did too. And we didn't hurt anybody. We'd get out there and put them in pieces of wood and explode the wood and break out windows and stuff like that. But anyway, that's a thrill to me as a teenage boy because didn't have television, didn't have a lot of things kids got today. So I thought my two teenage boys, you know, when they were about 10 and 12 or 10 and 14, I thought they'd like it like I would. So I went and got some firecrackers, went over to the farm where nobody is, nobody's got the body, and we shot them there for about 5 or 10 minutes, and they both said, Dad, can we quit? you aren't enjoying this. What's the big deal about it? And so it wasn't ever a big deal to them, but the older I get, it's not a big deal to me either anymore. So that's okay if you like the fireworks. That's okay. I'm not criticizing that. And the hamburgers and the hot dogs, and all that, it's all wonderful. We celebrate. That's good. But I'm talking about having a burden for the things of God in America, for the broken walls, the broken Congress, the broken Senate, the broken presidency, the broken Supreme Court. You know as well as I do, there are people on that Supreme Court that hate God. They hate you. They hate me. Anything God's for, they're against. I pray God would fix it. I pray He could fix it. Doesn't seem likely that He will, but He could. And Lord, give me the faith to believe that things are going to be fixed. And I can't do anything about that. Nehemiah was in a foreign land, and he said, God, if you'll get me over there, and it'll take you to get me there. I can't get myself there. I'm a cupbearer. I mean, I got my duties. If I didn't report, I'd be in prison. But I do belong to you. And it's your nation. It's not me. It's your nation I'm concerned about. And I'm asking you to help me. And I pray God will give us that desire. And He said, it's not just me. Look very carefully. I beseech thee, verse 11, and to the prayer of thy servants. More people than once praying. He realized and knew that he's getting the prayer meeting started. And they're praying, they're fasting, they're seeking God. More than one. And I don't know how many it takes. But God heard your prayers. Who desire to fear thy name and prosper. That's the next thing we have to do in closing. We're going to have the fear of God in our heart. The beginning of wisdom is fear of the Lord. And I'm talking about fearing not to comply to His word. I'm talking about having a godly fear in our heart that we love Him so much and we love our nation so much. I love God a trillion times more than our nation. But I love Him so much, I fear that I'll make a mistake and bring a reproach on His name. That's my fear. And the older I get, the more I have that fear. Thank God I do. That would say something or do something or act in such a way to bring reproach on the name of my Lord. I have that fear. And look what he says. We desire to fear that name and prosper, I pray thee, thy servant. Nehemiah couldn't do it by himself. He's going to be out there 4 months. These 4 months he's praying, serving the king with the cup, doing his duty. And if anything happens in his life, he knows God's going to have to do it. And we're going to have to completely trust God. There's nothing you and I could say or do. There's no, I don't care if you're a billionaire, there's nothing you could do to bring America back to God but to trust Him. And say, Lord, whatever way you can use me, use me. It starts by prayer, by being content, by confessing your sins and the sins of our nation, the sins of our church, the sins of Christians in America. And be willing to understand and know that the commandments of God are true and God does forgive if we will call on His name. Last part of that verse. Thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. For I was a king's cupbearer. He knew he was going to have to relieve of that duty. And Lord willing, I hope I get to preach the second chapter Sunday morning. I hope I do, if the Lord will let me. But look at it this way. He was a king's cupbearer, but yet the king knew him. He didn't hate the king because he put him in that position. He was content in it. And the king had enough respect for him that when he seen his countenance sad, it got his attention. Which lets you know that every day he was just as happy as he could be on the job. And you and I face the world. And there's a lot to be sad about. Sickness, distress, hurt, sin on every hand. But before, he had always had the joy of the Lord in his heart. And the king took notice of it. And the king saw him one day, the first day he saw him, apparently after he had had that burden for these 4 months, you're sad. And Nehemiah had respect from the king. We'll never win a lost world until we have respect from them. Live a life pleasing before God so they see your good works and glorify God in heaven. They know it's, if there's any good works about you, it's not you, it's not me. And we will be the first to say it's all him. And if you let your light so shine and everything good about you, you tell the lost world, it's not me, it's him in me. They'll have some respect. And they'd be willing to listen. So let's pray that God would give us a great Independence Day. Not just the firecrackers, the hot dogs, and the fellowship. That's all good and wonderful. Let's steal away somewhere and get close to God and ask God to give us a burden for our nation. I suppose in the last, let's just pick a number, 20 years, and I believe I'm right, I believe you would agree with it, every year on the 4th of July, as far as our nation floundering and faltering and getting farther from God, we're on a downhill venture fast. There's not been any bumps in the road where 1 year we're better than that. No, we've been sliding. We know that. Wouldn't it be good next year if we could come back in here on the whatever Thursday or Wednesday night before the 4th or whatever it is and look at another year if God tarries, we're still here and he hasn't come and see some improvement. I mean, vast improvement. Well, once Nehemiah got over there, which took him several months, the journey is a long way. There was some action. We'll look at that Sunday morning, Lord. What happened in a year from the day that he was sad before the king? 1 year later, we're going to take an analysis of it and see what can happen in 1 year. Would to God, next year we could come in here and see some positive results. Lost souls in a nation that has turning back to him. It could happen. Let's pray God he'll use us for it to happen. We don't do this very often, but we should. All of you can tonight, and we'll just gather around the altar. If you can't bow, that's okay. Come sit in pews. Just move. Just, you know, acknowledge to God that we are sincere. We're confessing. We're content in your power. Knowing that we're where we ought to be, physically, not spiritually, but you can get us there too. Would you stand and come forward if you can? If you can't bow, that's okay. Just come acknowledge before God our needs. And pray that God would give us a love for America more than we have now. I don't know if we ever have a love for a nation like he had for Israel, and I'm not even asking for that kind of love. Israel was a special nation. But we're a special people too. We belong to him. We've been redeemed. Lord Jesus, you see us just as we are. Lord, I am content physically where I'm at. And I want to be closer to you spiritually than I am a whole bunch. I confess my sin. Lord, I've not been what I ought to be. Haven't done what I ought to do. Haven't prayed like I ought to. Haven't had the burden, Lord, on and on and on. I've sinned. Not only me, but their church, their city, their county, their state, their nation. We haven't kept your commandments. Lord, won't you forgive us? And I do remember the promise, isn't that people? We are your people. humbleness, brokenness, contrition of the heart before Almighty God. That you could look down and see your intent or desire to be about your business. And we're so thankful that we can celebrate this week another year of freedom in America. Yeah, it's been taken away, we know that. But God help us, Lord, to this fourth and this night, every night, Lord, to have a burden, a sincere desire for you to do something for us as a nation, as a people. Take some time on the Independence Day to call on you and weep and pray and whatever we need to do, more than just celebrating. Help us, Father, to celebrate our freedom in Christ Jesus. We are a free nation, and we don't have any fear, thank God, for the authorities coming in, knocking on their door and saying, you can't pray, you can't go to church Sunday. We have that freedom. You've given it to us. Many people have died to obtain it. And their blood cries out tonight, oh God, how long? And help us be willing to be used for you if it takes bloodshed. To keep our freedom, that's okay. Whatever it takes, Lord, we're willing to be used. And we thank you, God, that we can be used. And we thank you, Father, for this night, for this people, for this quietness, for this holiness before you. In Jesus' name, amen.